Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. And those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Lead Blog Talk Radio Show, where we discuss the concept, history, and application of black people leaving the slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own society based on freedom, justice, and equality. Tonight's show is called The Mathematics of Movement. The Physical Relocation Task Force interviews Dr. Rijli Mumin Muhammad. You may be saying, I didn't even know mathematics had movement. Well, it does. And we're going to get more into that in tonight's show. When should you make the move? Is there a science to physical relocation to build our own communities? Tonight, the Time to Lead Physical Relocation Task Force will interview Dr. Rijli Mumin Muhammad, Student Minister of Agriculture, Manager of Muhammad Farms, PhD in Agriculture Economist, author and member of the NOI Nation of Islam Research Group, and founder of the Time to Lead Movement. We will discuss the mathematics of movement from his timely book entitled Commonomics, Developing a Post-Yacoub Economy. But before I continue to go into that tonight's show, I'm going to bring on my co-host and member and co-member of the Physical Relocation Task Force, and who happens to be my wife. She happens to be the graphic artist of the Time to Lead Movement. She happens to be the chief R&D baker and bakery and baker for the Brownwood Bakery. my wife, Sister Majida Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Majida.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you doing?
I am well, and yourself?
I'm fine, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I was like, stop. But thank you. You know, we work in the Nation of Islam, and we all wear many hats. But thank you. Thank you very much.
That's absolutely correct. And it looks like our guest for tonight is on the line, but before I bring him on, I was going to let you go ahead, and I'm going to let you introduce him. So I'm going to open his mic right now.
Assalamu
alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, ma'am. We're here. I'm going to use Sister Ann's phone because static in it again. And I can't trust my personal cell phone because it'll mess up in the middle of a broadcast. So we'll try Sister Ann's cell phone, see if they can track that down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, welcome, Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann. And I'm going to go ahead and get us started. And I just wanted to say, my husband introduced you, Dr. Ridgely, and I just want to say thank you. And I want to say that I have my pen and pad ready. And I posted on Facebook that we all should actually get ready for a class. Tonight's show is what I'm calling a class because there's definitely a great deal that we can learn from your commitment, Dr. Ridgely, to research and your many writings. And so I want to encourage, as we get started, I want to encourage those that are listening, especially those that are following us on Facebook and know what's going on, I want to encourage us to be interactive and not just listen, but ask some questions and share your comments. And so we're looking forward to hearing from you and hearing those questions and comments. So if you're ready, Dr. Ridgely, we'll begin with the first question.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. So before we get into the mathematics of movement that, as was stated, is found in your book titled Commonomics, Developing a Post-Yaqub Economy, if you would tell us briefly about your book and what a post-Yaqub economy is.
Okay, thank you very much. You know, I just don't say, you know what, I'm going to write a book. You know, I don't operate like that. Things happen, and it gets me thinking about something, and then it pulls disparate ideas or research that I've been doing. It brings it all together, and it gives us focus, and hopefully that it will be on time, but more than likely a little bit ahead of time. But after the crash of 2008 and 2009, when the financial markets crashed, which they periodically do, as they rip off the assets and equity of millions of people all around the world. They do this on a regular basis. I calculated it in my other book, Commonomics 2. But in Commonomics 1, I hadn't figured out the math of how they did it and when they did it, the timing of it. But I know they did it. I know there was a setup. And they do it, they crash the markets all the time. But in the reading of the different writers, they said that the reason that the market comes back, that the system remains, is because people don't feel that they have another alternative. So we wanted to give people another alternative. And I get straight to the chase, and then we'll come back to mathematics of movement. You know, we think that the corporation is the only investment model. You have the private ownership, then you have partnership, then you have LLC, and then you have corporation. And we think that the corporation is the ultimate way of forming business entities by which you can put investments in and they can grow into a large scale operation. And a lot of people think that the stock market actually represents the company. So let's say, and they say R.J. Reynolds stock is at $2, and you got, you know, 2,000 shares of R.J. Reynolds stock, and then it goes up to 3,000. Well, you got 1,000 shares, and now you have $3,000 in stock, which you could get out if you sell it at that time. Then you can get $3,000. You put in 2,000, then now you got $3,000, oh, you done made $1,000. That's great. But guess what? Between that $2,000 and that $3,000, it had nothing to do with R.J. Reynolds. R.J. Reynolds did not get any of that money, okay, even though it's R.J. Reynolds' stock. Because what they do is when a company goes public, all right, and it offers an initial offering, let's say 100,000 shares at, say, $25. Well, then that's $2,500,000. Now, that's what R.J. Reynolds gets. But then that those stocks are traded back and forth between individuals, okay, speculating on what they think is going to be the return. Ordinarily, the return on stock is the dividend that you get every year based on the profitability of the company. You get a dividend or you get a percent. Okay? Now, if it looks like that company is going to prosper and the dividends are going to increase, well, that means that your stock value should increase. So you make more money. So then people speculate on whether they think the company is going to go, and then they buy the stock in anticipation of a future return. However, unless R.J. Reynolds goes back into the market and buys some of its stock and holds it and then sells it again, it doesn't make any money off of the stock market. It got its money on the initial offering. Now, let me stop here because I don't want to get people confused. Did I make myself plain about how it works?
Yes, sir. So it sounds like... Yes, sir.
Okay, because I really am trying to help people to understand and therefore to make it simple so that they understand and they can get out. So, again, now let me show you the difference between that type of corporation and the corporation that the Staple Goods Project is set up under, the type, and the type that we talk about in Carmonomics, Develop a Post-Yacoub Economy. One of the main parts of the book is to talk about the cooperative corporation as a organizing model and an investment model by which the people who are in the co-op will own the business and they will make money as the business grows because they will get a return on their investment. Okay? However, the difference in the cooperative corporation and a regular corporation that's whose stock is traded on the stock markets is that, let's say that you get $1,000 worth of, say, $100 stock. So make it easy. So you get 10 certificates worth $100. So now you have $1,000 in ownership of the cooperative corporation. That $100 certificate will always be $100. Okay? It will never go up nor down. It will always be $100. But what you're buying an opportunity in the profitability of the company. As it gets profits, you get a percent of that. You get a refund or a rebate. Okay? Now, when you want to get out of it, you have to sell it back to the cooperative corporation, so that Staple Goods Project. You got to sell it back to them or sell it to another member of the cooperative corporation. You cannot sell it to a stranger. Okay? The person who wants to buy the stock must be accepted by all the members to join. You have to be accepted by all the members. They must vote on your acceptance into the corporation. So strangers can't just come in with a lot of money, buy up all the stock, and then control everything through their ownership. Now, even in the corporate corporation, if someone does try that, it's one man, one vote. So you may have 1,000 people in the cooperative corporation, okay? You still only got one vote. One person may own $1,000 worth of stock, and the other person may own $100,000 worth of stock. But you still just have one vote, okay? This is to prevent money dictating policy and money,
yes, sir,
controlling and making all the profits, everybody is treated equal in the cooperative corporation. You know, and that fits along with our teachings of freedom, justice, and equality.
Yes, sir.
Okay? So that's the difference in a cooperative corporation and a corporation that sells stock on the on stock market. Because the $100 certificate will never change. There's no speculation.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
This is what is against Islamic principles, is speculation and gambling. Speculation is gambling.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But in the cooperative corporation, there is no speculation. Okay? Because you can't speculate and make any money. The only way you can make any money is to work or get a return on your investment. Now, how does it work in a cooperative corporation? The people who work, say, in a plant of the cooperative corporation, they own a portion of that plant. Okay? So that means that everything would be owned not by the government,
mm-hmm,
okay, but by individuals. Individuals will own the means of production. And the decisions are made in a collective manner with one man, one vote. Now, you can see how that type of economic system is not appreciated by the one-tenth of the one percenters.
Right.
Okay, because now money rules and rules. But under the corporation economic system, the individuals rule collectively. And
right,
it's one man, one vote, and the majority rules. And
right,
then everybody has to go along, or you pull out. You know,
mm-hmm,
if you want to pull out, if people say, okay, we got some money, we're going to buy you out, you can go. You got me? But if we don't have the,
yes,
money to buy you out, you just stuck. Okay? So it's you're going to have to go along to get along with the other people in the cooperative corporation. All right? You can't be successful just having your own way. It has to be. You can convince other people to go along with you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't force them to, and you can't. You don't have the power in terms of you got money that you can use your extra votes to in fact push your agenda through. So that's the main difference in a cooperative corporation and a regular public corporation for stock on the stock market. And this was the main point about bringing in this new form to replace the old form. So then,
yes,
from there,
sir,
we get to, okay, how do we make a move? How do we put ourselves in a position to establish a different system? Well, you're going to have to pull out of the present system to set up another one. But here is the question. Should I or shouldn't I? How can I make this decision? Now, we're taught in Islam, the nation of Islam, that Islam is mathematics, and mathematics is Islam. So we should be able to break many of the questions down based on actual facts and logic. Okay? So I set up, yes.
I'm sorry. It sounds like I have a question about what you talked about in terms of the corporation, the traditional corporation, and the cooperative corporation. So these are the main or the only characteristics that separates a Yaqub economy from a post-Yaqub economy? One is based on speculation and gambling and a traditional corporate structure based on who has the most money, and the other is based on cooperative corporations and one man, one vote. Is that the main difference? Is that the main characteristics of the post-Yaqub economy?
Yes, because you're operating as a collective.
Yeah.
Okay? And everybody is equal. But it's not communism.
Right.
The state doesn't own the facilities. The state doesn't dictate what the company is going to do. It's dictated by the members of the company.
Yes, sir.
Right?
But could you say it's it's somewhat socialistic. It's yes, sir.
It's socialistic because everybody is equal, and one of the differences in the corporate corporation, in the regular corporation, is because so everybody is a family members or friends, or they're in the same community. They know each other and love each other, and a lot of decisions are made to make sure that people stay employed. And remember, the corporate corporation, the employees run the corporation, and if the corporation don't work, if the company don't work, then they don't get paid. So they want the company to work, and they want everybody to stay employed. Okay?
Invested
so then people start thinking for the whole. For instance, we made a decision in the staple goods project. The farm is on the east, southeast part of the country, but many of our believers are way up north or way out west. Well, to try to ship product to them, it costs more money to ship it out west than it does to ship it, say, from the farm up into Atlanta. So then they would have to pay a whole lot more money, and our people don't have that type of money. So we as a group voted and decided that we would prorate the transportation costs, spread it out so that the people who are on the East Coast who are closer to the farm, we plan a little bit more on the cost of transportation than they could have by themselves. But they are subsidizing the people on the West Coast. So the people on the West Coast can get the same product for the same price as the people on the East Coast. So here you have an example of how the group decided to protect the people in the group, because the purpose was not to make money off people, but was to satisfy their needs of wholesome food and get it distributed all across the country. So in case of emergencies, disasters, and anarchy, you would be able to stay in your homes, as Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, for 3 months without coming out if necessary. So this is why we did that, with the goal of helping people, not as a goal of making money off of people. However, you have to make some money if you're going to continue the operation, and you have to make a profit if you're going to expand. If you don't bring in a profit, then you cannot expand, and when costs go up, you're not going to be able to stay in business. So you have to think in a logical, mathematical, but fair manner to keep things going, because remember the purpose is to keep the products going to the people, and eventually, as we have employees, to keep the employees employed.
Yes, sir. Before you continue, and I apologize, I interrupted you before you were on the flow, and it sounded like you were going to continue to talk about movement and even the mathematics of movement. Before we go on, I wanted to go ahead and recommend to our listeners to go in and press 1 and get into the queue now. If you find this conversation interesting, if what Dr. Ridgely is saying is generating questions in your mind and you want to get them answered in this show, don't wait. Press the button and get in the queue now, and we will be opening for questions very shortly. So, Dr. Ridgely, I think you were going on to discuss what the mathematics movement is and why you came up with it.
Yes. So go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. Hurry up.
I was just going to say briefly, just in my limited knowledge, your explanation, I could see the difference between having an economy of equality and one where it was individualistic and based on greed. So, you know, just looking at that comparison the way you laid it out.
Well, they have to get the book of Commonomics, of Developing a Post-Yakub Economy, to understand the totality of what I am talking about. Because I even go into in the book a whole new reference of what is the purpose of life. Okay? Whereas in this world of greed, the purpose in life is to consume as much as you can by doing as little work as you can. And that's what Yakub promised the people who followed him. That they would make their brothers and sisters work for them while they don't work. Well, this is the mentality of this world. I talk about the mentality of Jesus and the mentality of the minister and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The purpose of life is to serve God and to serve man. To serve God through serving man. Because you can't serve God by serving God. You can only serve God by serving his creatures,
mm-hmm.
his children, each other. So I set forth a whole scheme of understanding how you make decisions based on one type of principles versus another set of principles. Because we're talking about a change in motivation, not just a change in a few paperwork and a few words. No, a change in the whole motivation, that you should be motivated to want for your brother what you want for yourself, and that should carry out through all phases of your operation, not just in the mosque, but actually in business, in economics. And in actuality, that is the Jews' religion. It's business, it's economics, it's money. So they got us strung out on religion, where their religion is money, and they control us through the money. So we got to understand money and economics so we can take control of our lives back from Yaqub made them.
Yes, sir.
Like I said, it's long to get the whole understanding. It's laid out in the book. But now, so how do we get people to move? Well, this is what we laid out, a mathematical analysis of how what's going to get you to move. Because people move for a number of reasons. Like, a lot of people move because they get a chance to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a pull. Okay, that's a plus. Some people move because of a job situation. That's going to pay a whole lot more than what they're getting now. That's another plus. Some people move because of divorce. You want to get the hell out of the environment of the other person. And you don't care if what you leave behind, you just out of here. Okay, that's the negative. That's the fire that keeps you going, get you out. So what we did was we said, now let's break this down mathematically so people can look at it, then look at their own situation. To make a decision on what they're going to do, whatever that decision is. This particular decision is the one to actually physically move from one place to another. But it works on anything in terms of you making decisions, okay? Because in the analysis, this is the most important thing. In the final analysis, people are going to do that which they think is best for them. They may not have all the stuff together to know what's best for them, but they're doing stuff because they think they know. And that's what they're going to do. Now, you may want them to do something else, but if they think that that other thing else is not in their benefit, then they'll lie to you in your face that they're going to do it because you might have some type of power over there. But then you're going to see them sitting on the bucket. They ain't moving. They ain't going to do it. And you look back and say, you didn't do what I told you. I forgot. No, you didn't forget. You just didn't want to do it. You should have told them in the first place. So this is why you got to be real with yourself first. So, let's look at the diagram. As a matter of fact, I put it up on my Facebook page, and it's the same diagram that's in the book. Okay, here you got a present situation. So you got a present situation. In everybody's situation, there are positives and negatives. Okay? You might like the environment. You know, it's like in California. You like the ocean. You like the dryness of the air. You like, and now, hell, you get burned up. Well, now that positive, it turned into a negative. But at one time, it was a positive. Okay? So, you got positive and negative in everything. When you work, that's exertion. That's the negative part. But the positive part is what you get from the work. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so, hopefully, if what you get from the work is more than you had to put into it, then you're not a slave. But if you get less out of the work you put into it, then you are a slave. Okay? So, back to the diagram. So the present. Negative is the bad part. That's why I put it in red like fire. And the positive is green. You know, a plus sign is green. So let's look at a situation in terms of whether you move or don't move. So let's say in the present situation, you got negatives and you got some positive. Okay? So, you know, you just kind of, you cope with steady. You know, you're cool, as I say. You know, I'm good. So, you know, So, but then, you got a vision about the future, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta make a move to get there. So therefore, there's gonna be a cost. That's a transition cost, okay? I want to move from here to New York City. Well, I don't have a baby plane, and I cannot transport myself through the ether. I'm gonna have to pay somebody. I'm gonna have to get a truck. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna load some furniture up. I'm gonna have to make a move. Then I'm gonna have to get a place to stay and all that type of stuff. So that's a transition cost. And when we're asking people to do something, there is always a transition cost. And if you have not calculated that, when they decide what they're going to do, they're going to calculate if it's not, even, you know, they're going to, they say, no, I ain't doing that. So why? Well, I ain't doing that. They might can't tell you what it is, but it's a reason why they ain't going to do that. Okay? Now, so you've got one positive plus for vision and one negative for the transition cost to facilitate or acquire that vision of what you see in the future. Then that cancels out. So the vision is canceled out by the cost of making a transition. So now it's a zero. So the net future outlook is zero, and the present situation is zero. Therefore, zero equals zero. Don't move. It ain't worth it. It ain't perfect where you at, but it ain't worth making the move. Okay, so we go down to the next one. Well, the next example. Well, that's a negative. That's a positive. It's some good and some bad. It's still, you know, copacetic. It's still zero. You know, I ain't going nowhere. But then I see something. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us about building a heaven on earth. He says, look, we got to fix our communities. Either you move to a community that you can control, or you control the community that you live in. So now you see a vision. I want to build a heaven on earth for myself and my children. Okay, but there'll be a cost to that. Okay? But if it's real, if the vision is real big, so give it two plus, and the transition cost is one negative, so the two minus one is one positive. So now the future outlook, the net future, is plus one. Now you compare the net future, with the present situation that's zero, and the net future is greater than zero, therefore you move. Because what? The vision of what the future is going to be outweighs the heat or the fire or the pressure or the cost of going through it to get there. Everybody understand that? So now you move. All right? And the third example, and then I leave it over for questions. The third example is, well, you know, things have gotten worse here. You know, yeah, it used to be kind of bad here on the block. You know what I mean? But the last time they had shoes, they busted out the windows in my house and in my car. Okay? And they killed my dog. Okay? Now, for white folks, you know, that's it. They got to go then. So now, it's all negative, and there's no positive about being in this place or this situation. So you want to go. Now, okay, there's people say it's better on the other side of the fence, but damn, this fence over here is so hot. Then they said, well, you know, it's going to cost you to get to the other side of the fence. But hey, yeah, but look, they're shooting at me on this side of the fence. Yeah, I know I'm about to jump high to get over that fence, but I see buckshot coming up my behind right now. I'm the hell out of here. So now the transition is a vision and a transition cost, which, you know, it cancels out, but the fire and the heat and the bullets of the negative is so strong that, hell, I'm jumping that fence anyhow. Okay? So therefore, the minus two is less than zero. Zero is present, okay? I mean, it's the future. Maybe it ain't all that hot, but it damn sure ain't as hot as this. All right? So you're going to make the move. Because the bad, what Mr. Farrakhan say? He said, Allah is going to make us separate. Okay? Those are those two bad. Those are those two negatives. That it's going to be so hot that you don't give a damn what the future is like. It's got to be better than this. Because I feel this heat on me right now. I got to go. All right?
Wow.
So that's the
separation.
Basic, yeah. So they're going to make you separate. So that's the basic mathematics of movement. Now, in the time to leave movement, we hope that people will look at the second scenario. That is, that, you know, okay, it's not all that bad where you're at, and it ain't all that good. But you can see a future that you can build for you and your children. If you get together with the right type of people in the right circumstance, you can, in fact, build a heaven for you and your people and your children for the future. Hell, I want to do that. And so I know, let me count up what I'm going to have to lose out on to do that. But if the vision is strong enough, that positive will outweigh the negative, and you will make that move. So we're looking for people who are going to make that move based on mathematics. We don't want nobody coming down here who ain't done the mathematics. Okay? I don't even want you in the nation with me if you ain't done the mathematics. Because I don't want nobody, time a little heat, a little problem come up, they talking about they want to run, or worse than that, go stay there and make me negative. go talk about all the negative things and try to wear my damn spirit down. I don't need nobody around me like that. Okay? If you don't want to separate, stay there until it's too damn late. But do not come over here if you ain't ready for real to separate and you ain't ready to be a brother and sister to me and each other. I don't need no niggas. That's what the white man made. Farrakhan, Mr. Farrakhan,
yes,
Elijah didn't make none of that. We looking for the ones that they have made. Then people say, well, can non-Muslims, can they come down to Broadwood? Yeah, you can come down to Broadwood, but we don't really need you in the community right now. We got to build a community of Muslims. There's a lot of non-Muslims down here already.
That's right.
But we need some Muslim followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan who want to build a heaven on earth. Let's get together and do for ourselves and work with like minds. And I guarantee you, if you come down here and work with us, with the people who have like minds, you're going to enjoy yourself. It's going to be a struggle.
That's
but you're
right.
Going to enjoy yourself instead of being around a bunch of knuckleheads. I don't like knuckleheads, okay? I don't like people who say one thing and do something else. I don't like no weak Muslims. That's what scares me more than anything. A weak Muslim scares me. Crackers don't scare me. Jews don't scare me. Bombs and bullets don't scare me. I'm not going to jump in front of a bomb or a bullet, but they don't scare me. Muslims who are weak, they scare me because you know you cannot depend on them. You never know what they're going to do next. They'll break right in the middle of where you need some support, then boom, they're going to let you down. So I don't want none of them around me. Now, I have spoken enough. I have preached enough. It's got to be somebody with some questions. So I'm going to
Yes, there are. Yes, they are. So before I open up the line for questioning, we have three people in the queue. Vegeta, did you want to say something before I open up the line for questioning?
No, go ahead. Go ahead and let them in.
Okay, okay. So we have three people in the queue, four people in the queue. We got okay. So the first one we're going to do, caller with the last four digits, 1110. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Ann. I am on my standby cell phone. But
yes, I am.
Didn't have any. Yes, and what I would like to do, Brother Carlson, is let anyone who may be new to our call go ahead before I do. So I just wanted to let you know this is my call number that I'm on tonight. But I will wait
yes, ma'am. So,
until the other callers get their questions in.
Okay, so I'm going to leave your mic open and you can go on mute.
All right,
and open it up when you see fit.
Okay,
so next caller. Caller with the last four digits, 5523, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Brother Johnny X, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Where are you calling from, Brother Johnny?
Yes, sir. I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio, but as of 2 years ago, I relocated down here in Greenville, South Carolina area.
Yes, sir.
So what is your question or comment?
I'm definitely in agreement with the doc because, I mean, if what we're seeing out in California isn't enough proof, and I just been watching videos all this week and of the survivors and the eyewitnesses, they said that it was hell on earth, like literally, and it was apocalyptic and catastrophic, and it's real. And we know the angel is busy. So that's my comment. I'm in agreement with everything
okay.
The doc said.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is that
yes,
that fire out there should be strong enough to make somebody make a move.
Now, yeah, yes, sir.
I'm going to say something funny. Those fires were forests. Is that right?
Well, you had two of them, Doc. You had one in the south. So the ones in the north is like wood related, and the ones in the south is more like kind of in the ritzy area, the Malibu area.
But the ritzy areas, those are full of trees. That's why they.
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah, cannon.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
That's why they're
yes,
in there.
Yes,
they built their homes in the woods, away from other people.
Yes, sir.
In the woods. And it's the woods that start, the fire spread through the woods. Therefore, my prediction is the fires will not make Compton, California.
No, sir. No, sir.
Why?
because, I mean, it's already enough heat that, that we're catching in Compton and in South Central and other inner cities.
See, that's why I said what I said and why I asked you the question. See, we have to, you know, we think in terms of spiritual without just the mathematics, okay? The fires probably will not hit Compton because there's no trees and there's no grass.
Oh, yes, sir, without a doubt.
Black folks don't have no trees and they don't have no grass in their yard.
Yes, sir.
So there's
and the whole wind factor as well.
Well, the wind's got to catch the bushes. The wind's
yes,
got
sir.
To catch the bushes. There's winds there, but they got to have the bushes to feed the fire. The fire feeds on the wood.
And yes, sir.
In the black community, you ain't got none. I just said that to say, I hope the people in Compton don't say, well, you know, the fire ain't going to touch us because, see, we ain't got no trees. And they stay over there until the earthquake hit.
Okay? Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to get to. That's what I was also going to get to in conjunction with the wildfires. Yeah, it was a series of aftershocks 2 weeks ago, I believe, two weekends ago. So, I mean, those are signs. They say a wicked generation looks for a sign. I'm like, well, how many more signs do you need?
Well, it don't even have to deal with wickedness. If I'm in a place that keeps coming on fire and Governor Brown said yesterday that it's going to get worse for the next 10 to 15 years in terms of the fire
yes,
because of the change in the climate. Well, hell.
Yes, sir.
It's just time to leave. It's bad. You in hell fire right now, and then it says it's going to get worse for the next 10 to 15 years. To me, that's a hint, a serious hint.
Yes, sir.
I'm getting the hell
exactly.
out. And
exactly.
So to me, it's a blessing from Allah to warn people, get out.
Yes, sir.
But thank you very much for calling in.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Okay. So we're going to go to our next caller. Caller with the last four digits, 7359. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Niambe from St. Louis.
Hey, Islam.
Well,
yes, ma'am.
So I have more of a comment. When Dr. Ridgely, talked about a collective, that's a very important concept for us to understand and accept when we talk about separation. Because, for one, if I come with, say, a vehicle, then that vehicle is no longer my vehicle. It belongs to the collective. If I am truly wanting to be a part of a collective, so not only is it does it involve operating in a different manner, it first and foremost involves taking on a different mindset as it relates to existing within a collective. And some examples that we have are the Amish, the Mennonites, the Mormons. Those are examples where they live amongst one another. You don't hardly see Amish and Mennonites, and you really don't know whether you're seeing Mormons. Well, really, you really don't see them a whole lot except for when they're going door to door. But you don't see a lot of Amish and Mennonites either amongst the general population. It's rare to see them. But
sisters, I know some it was those Amish and Mennonites, Sister Ann, that we visited at their restaurant up in Montezuma. Well, anyway, they do own property individually. They do own businesses individually. And if you come to Muhammad's Farms Collective, our community, we're not going to take your car. That's your car. However, your mindset should be that if another brother or sister needs a ride, or
right.
the car is broke down and they need to borrow your
yeah.
car, you should not be skimpage about it, but that still is your car. We're not going to take your property. When you come, you own your own property. If you, unless you're on the farm where you be renting, but if you buy a property in the community outside the farm, you own that property. Okay? So we're not, don't scare people off. People say, well, I don't want to give up my property.
Yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir. You're right. Yes, sir. You're absolutely correct. I should be mindful of the language.
That's right. It's a mixed, they call it a mixed economy. You still can own individual property, but the means of production, okay, the big scale means of production and employment, it will be owned by the group. Okay?
Yes, sir.
So if you have your own, mom and pop operation, just you and your family, you can still have you and your family. Let's say you will have a lawnmower service where you go and cut grass. Well, that will be your business. The equipment is yours. Now, the collective may loan you a small loan to get in the business, but then when you pay the collective back, that's your mower and your pickup truck and your business. Okay? So it's not, again, this is not Russia we're talking about. This is not communism. Okay?
Yes, sir.
But we get more into that as we go along the way. It is a situation where there's mixed. It's always been mixed with us a long time back as the people before we bought the slave. It's mixed. Some of the things you will own, and some of the things will be owned by the group. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Ridgely, for clarifying that for us, because I certainly know that no one's property will be confiscated, but thank you for making that clear.
But your spirit is correct, though. In your mind, what? If I have a bowl of soup, half of it belongs to my brother, right? But until my brother asks for it because he really needs it, you know, I'm going to eat all that bowl of soup. But I'm not going to sit there in front of my brother who got nothing and eat all that bowl of soup. However, I will sit there in front of my brother and eat my whole bean pot, even though he don't have a bean pot. That's not in the heat. Don't get it twisted. You talking about bean soup. We ain't talking about bean pie. That's mine. Don't be asking me about bean pie. Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, Sister Naomi, thank you very much for your question and your comments. And we have some more people in the queue we're going to get to, Dr. Ridgely.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay, caller with the last four digits, 0074. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum, family. This is Sister Latoya, and I'm calling from Dallas, Texas. And I just wanted to make a comment, and I also did have a question about the book Dr. Ridgely mentioned because I got on a few minutes late and didn't catch the whole title. But I did want to say I thank you, Dr. Ridgely, for all that you said, because it is something that in the last year my husband, Dante, and I have been discussing the move, and we got to the point where we did exactly, because emotionally at first I was like, yes, I'm ready to go, and I am ready to go and separate. And then we've been getting on the calls for quite, you know, since the beginning by the grace of Allah. And so we started weighing it and doing the pros and the cons and the mathematics. Because Islam is mathematics is Islam. So we had to weigh things because he's in school, in a trade, to become an electrician. And you know, and so we have various things going. And he did speak with you concerning that and ask you, you know, should we just up and move? Or should I finish my schooling and just try to get in school there? And you gave him some excellent advice. So I wanted to say that I bear witness that when you sit down and you think it out and you wait, because we absolutely know that we're going to make the move, but making it smart and being wise and not emotionally and planning it out to the best of our ability. Now, if we see things, you know, the fire, we're going to, you know, we're out of here. We're going to drop it all. We're going to leave. We're just at that point. But in the meantime, if we can try to plan and not make so much of an emotional move and just, you know, and make sure that we do it in the best way that we can, if we do have the time that is allotted to us to plan, that is our preference. because we have made other moves and didn't do it that way. So we do want to have things in order, things arranged. So I thank you because that's wisdom and not emotion and not ignorance, you know, and no matter how we feel, because me, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be good. I can do without. Let's just go, you know. And he's like, okay, let's decide what we're going to do for the school situation. You're going to homeschool. And so all, weighing all these things depending on your circumstances. Do you have a family? Do you have children? You know, do you have a loved one that's older that's in the city where you, I mean, are you trying to get them there and get them into a facility? You know, your mom or your dad, you know, so weighing all these things, very, very helpful. So I do thank you for saying that, because a lot of us need to hear that, including me. It's just confirmation for me to slow down and just be wise. And also, I wanted to know if you could please give me the title of your book again, because I do want to order that, please.
Okay. And you can order it from NOIMOA.com, or you can go to Amazon and order it. But you can order it from NOIMOA.com on the website. The name of the book is Commonomics, Developing a Post-Yacoub Economy. It's called Commonomics, Developing a Post-Yacoub Economy. And you can find it on NOIMOA.com or on Amazon. Okay?
Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much, Dr. Ridgely. I appreciate you
You're
all.
Welcome. Thank you.
Well, welcome, Slaw. Okay, so we got two more callers. Caller with the last four digits, 2547. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. It's Sister Katina, caller from Dallas.
William Slaw.
Yeah, Dr. Ridge, you had me right up until you said you wasn't sharing half that bean pie. I was like, you know, like on my way. And I figured, I don't know if that's exactly how it's supposed to be now with your bean.
That's it. I'm sorry. That's it. And,
that's
hey,
where you draw the line.
And don't leave your bean pie and turn your back on it because I don't want it to spoil.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to need to see that in writing. But the sister actually before me, she actually asked the original question I was going to ask, which was where to get the book. But I'm happy to see. Actually, I was happy to see the formula that you put up on the website or on the Time to Leave Movement Facebook page with the formulas and all of that for movement and that type of thing. But my other question would be with that formula. I've heard you say on several occasions that black people as a group have a group engram about moving to the South. So what would you say would be the way to get around that based on the formula that you have presented?
Well, again, either they have the one. Have they come and checked it out now? They may have a history. Because remember that we're talking about the future. You're not moving down south or anywhere because of the past. You're moving because of what you think the future is going to be. Because you cannot live in the past, negative or positive. You can't live in the past. You can only live now and in the future. So what you need to do is go and see what you think it's going to be like in the future. Okay? Now, if you ain't got time to do that, then you stay where you are. And I am sure that the fire of where you are now will probably get you to move. Because America is taken into a fiery pit. And it's carrying everybody weak down with it. And the people who got money got planes to get out. You're going to be stuck here with the pole crackers as the system falls. So I believe if you just stay where you are and don't look to go no place else, you will be running in time because it's going to fall apart all around you. Yet as you live that long, because you're already dying from being overweight, eating poisons, thinking negative, fighting your brothers and sisters, selling drugs, selling your body. You're already doing stuff that's killing you right now, so you may not even make it to the big fire conference.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can have a vision, make a vision. But, hey, you ain't got to come down here. We tell people, don't move here until you come down here and stay for a while. You got vacation. You got 1 week, you got 2 weeks vacation. Take your 1 week or 2 week vacation and come down south or come any place that you think you might want to go. I hear people talking about going to Ghana, going to Africa. Well, go there first. Go there for a week or two. See what it's like. Don't just go because somebody said go. No, you go and you study it first. So you come down here or you go anywhere you think you want to go, but go there first. Go there a couple times not just one time. Mm-hmm. Go there in the winter, go there in the summer, go and see what it's like, and then make your decision based on what? Actual facts, and not somebody else's opinion. Was that helpful?
Makes sense. Very helpful. Thank you, sir.
I'm gonna give you another example.
Okay.
My ex-wife, we finally broke up about 1997, but we married back in the early 1970s, and her family, they're all from New York, Brooklyn, they hated the fact that I brought her down south. And in the meantime, while she was down south, all of her four brothers, all of them, at least one time, got beat up for mistaken identity in New York by the police. Even one that was a paraplegic, he got beat up. He can't even walk. He got beat up for mistaken identity. Now, since we divorced and I moved out here to Georgia, she lives in Greensboro, North Carolina still, same house that I bought for her. Now, two of her sisters, and one of them who hated my guts was the main one against me, that moved down to Greensboro, that moved down there, and then blamed me for taking her from New York to bring her down there. I just thank a lot that I'm out of there because I don't want to live around them nohow. But they came down to the very city that they claimed that I was taking her down in the country, in the woods, and out of New York. And look at them. They're running down there. So, yeah, sooner or later, the fire go get you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sister Katina. And we got one more, and I recognize this number. This is our brother from Jackson in Philadelphia, Mississippi, Brother Sean. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Sean.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother God.
Brother
yes,
Sean.
I just want to say, yes,
Brother
sir.
Sean, you from Mississippi,
yes, sir.
Man. Do you hear what that sister said? Ain't you scared? You in Mississippi, man. Ain't you scared?
No, sir.
No, ain't you scared, brother? You in Mississippi, brother. Ain't you scared?
I'm not
I'm not just in Mississippi.
No, sir.
I've
been here all my life, brother. Been in Philadelphia, Mississippi. On top of that, that's the worst part. This beach is for real here. Yes, I just want to say, I'm enjoying the conversation. Glad the way we, by the grace of Allah, glad the way we are coming together and looking at it. But I would like to see, are we collecting information about land around there for sale? Because I would like to get some brothers together and purchase some stuff over there when we can. I just need to have the information. And I will be coming down there just to see whatever about. Definitely want to start owning something over there. Close to the
we don't have a real estate agent in the organization yet. Sister Ann is thinking about getting her real estate license, and so we're so busy doing work that we ain't got time to be looking for properties. So, but what we're hoping is you will come and visit for a while, and then you can look around yourself and talk to some people.
Yes, sir.
In the future, hopefully, we'll be able to set that up. But you know, all that takes time, and then listen very carefully. All that takes time, and usually when you're dealing with black folks, it come down to the bottom line, and they ain't got the money.
Yes, sir. Right.
Okay.
You're right.
So,
I'll be down there soon.
Okay. All right. We want you in particular to come and help us to do what y'all doing down in there in Mississippi, down there in Philadelphia, Mississippi, and now in Jackson, Mississippi, where you all have come together and bought properties and built homes and sold the homes, and ain't nobody got lent yet.
Yes.
Oh, praise due to Allah.
Yes, sir. Maybe to Allah. They want to, but they can't catch it by the grace of Allah.
That's right. Because God is everywhere. Right? God came.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, before God came, he wasn't here. God came now. Hey, I came down here. You know what I told these crackers?
What did you tell, sir?
Okay. I went to get some parts at the John Deere place. And there was five of them around on break. And one of them asked me, ain't you a little scared walking around here with all that money? I said, number one, it's not a lot of money. Number two, it's not my money. Number three,
yes,
I'm sure you don't want 2 million niggas with bow ties down here looking for me. And that was
right
after me and
Man Mars.
Okay?
Right. I got to go through the back with you, Dr.
Rich. I ain't had no problem.
Yes,
I ain't never had a problem. I had a problem with Negroes who's stupid. And I had to explain to them, look, man, you see me here by myself. I ain't by myself. Fool, you don't want to fight me. You be fighting the whole nation.
No, sir. That's right.
Go ahead.
We coming.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your call, Brother Sean. And we are down to the last 30 seconds of the show, believe it or not. Sister Ann, did you want to give a quick comment before we let Dr. Ridgely tell people how they can get his book?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. And I'll do it quickly. And I was listening to everything everyone had to say. Now, you know that those thousands of people that are walking 1,400 miles from Honduras to get to a better life. Now, what kind of conviction is that? If we had a little bit of that kind of conviction in separating, where do you think we would be? My husband and I, we drive around, and as we're doing our work, ideas of what the future could be come to us. Today, and I'm going to stop on this, Brother Carlton. I was reading an article in a magazine. There's a female up in Atlanta, of all places, just started a local meal delivery business that she is wanting to source all of her products from farmers. I said, now look at that. Here we are. We got a farmer.
Wow.
We got a baker. That could be an instant business if the people were here. So
we have
the vision. Yeah, we have the vision. We just need the bodies who are willing to work and help us bring these visions into reality. Thank you, Brother Carlton.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Majida?
I just want to thank Dr. Ridgely and all of the callers for their participation and a great show. A great show. Like I said, I have my pen and paper, and I'm writing. A great show. Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Dr. Ridgely, for those who are listening that are interested and want to know more, how can they get your book? So if you want to get Dr. Ridgely's book, go to NOIMOA.com, Nation of Islam, Ministry of Agriculture, to the website, and you do a products tab or a purchasing tab, and you will see products there, and all of Dr. Ridgely's books are available at that website. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week and the next Time to Leave show next Tuesday. Assalamu alaikum.
Won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand you?
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground.
Yeah.
Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my fifth. Tell me to break out of the country and into more countries.
Woo!
Fast eyes.